issue something on the dealing with children and raising children. So basically speaking, children are expansion of consciousness of parents. It means, in other words, what you're going to hear today is not some little techniques, some tricks how to take care of your kids. It means you're going to hear how you have to look at yourself. This is not a do-it-yourself book. This is a figure-out-who-you-are book. I mean, if the parents are normal, this is the base. This is the bottom line. If the parents are normal, kids will be normal. Parents aren't normal, kids will not be normal. That's the moral. So that means that the husband and wife do not have a good relationship. Or at least, even if they don't, if they're not cultured enough to keep the kids out of it, the kids will be weird. That simple. We have to remember that it's a complete package. A family is a complete unit. The whole unit is healthy, and everything works. But if the unit is not healthy, it doesn't work. It's that simple. So the point is that the mother is having to take care of the child. The child will be the center of attention because the child doesn't know any better. They're untrained. When you give birth to a child, then you're giving birth to something that's potentially human. It means when they grow up, they take the human values seriously. They act as humans. But before that, they don't know how to be human. So they will basically be very self-centered. So to deal with something very self-centered means you have to be very selfless. So that means the mother is going to be giving all attention to the child. Then, the mother giving all attention to the child, that means the husband has to be giving all attention to the wife. So if the husband is thinking, what am I getting out of this? Then he should have thought of this before, why did he get involved? If it's all about him, then he's got a problem. Right? The child then will grow up to think it's all about themselves. See, the thing is that they'll start off thinking it's all about me, but because everyone was selfless in dealing with them when they grow up, they will be selfless in taking care of others. If they're not dealt with in that way, the parents themselves are selfish, then the child will grow up to remain selfish. They won't change. Right? Because the child starts off on the platform unannoyed, that means it's all about me. As they grow and they see people are caring for them, they have so much appreciation for them, so much attachment, so much affection, then they're going to think, oh, there are others, right? So then the concept of pranamoy then manifests within the consciousness. They see others, they see the mother. Then with time, they're going to see the father. So like this, then, this expands. As they grow up, then the mother will start to train them why they're doing what they're doing, not just because she wants, right? The child is your possession, but if you don't train your possession, then it's going to grow up to be a very annoying possession, right? This idea that it's mine means like this. You do this with your husband. He's mine, so therefore he should just do what I want. And if he doesn't, this is a problem. And occasionally, if the mood is good and his mood is good, I will tell him what he's supposed to do. But otherwise, he better figure it out because he is mine. You do this with your kid, you will fail. The kid's not your husband. The kid's your child. You're in the masculine position as your mother. The child is in the feminine position. So it's all about the child. It's not about the mother. Between the mother and the father, then it's all about the mother. this is how it works. Right? This is the reality. We were talking reality and relationships, so this is what's going on. So I told her there's going to be no tricks here. So it's going to be, you figure it out, it works. You don't figure it out, none of your relationships will work anyway. So this is the whole idea, is that understanding, that's what I was saying so much before about understanding this principle, the masculine and feminine principle, or, you know, what is support and what is the active future. So the child then, by being trained by the mother, she will explain why you do things, right? Because women are religious, so they will train the child in religion. So that brings the child to manamon, right? Understanding why I do this. I'm a child, therefore I do like that. I'm a human being, I do like this. We are devotees, therefore we do like this. I'm a boy, I do like this. I'm a girl, I do like this. Right? This is how I behave, this is how I behave with others. With elders like this, with equals like this, with juniors like this. All these things then we learn. Right? Then, as one matures more, then one comes in contact with the spiritual concept, then they understand, they start understanding spirituality. Right? So this introduces the transcendental platform. So this is the Vijnana Maya. Right? And also then we take it further to the platform of Bhakti. So they understand the platform of Ananda Maya. Right? So this way then the child moves through all the five levels. But they can't move through the five levels if the parents themselves are on Anamaya. Right? You drop the kid off at day school so you can spend the time down in the spa gossiping with your friends. The husband is always thinking, I'm getting nothing out of this, this is a trip, why it's always about the kid, why it's always about the wife, what about me, what about my needs? You know, you got another 25 years to worry about that. You know? The kid needs it totally for 2 years. You can't hold on, you shouldn't have got married. It's that simple. You know, if you can't be a man, then don't even try. Right? Man means, you know, he puts up with it. If you're really a man, right? You know, it's just like, you know, when you got a splinter, you got the splinter, you know, oh, should I spray with some this or that, or take away the pain, or, you know, like that. No, I'm a man. I can handle it. So men always pride themselves in being able to handle it, except when they walk in the front door of their house. Then they become a prisoner. Like that. And the most funny part is all these tough men get together and support each other's sissiness. Right? They think it's God's right that they can be sissies. But if you say this, they'll get angry. So, but whatever it is, I'm sitting here, I can say it. So, this is the point, is that everyone has to know what their duties are, right? Raising a child is not something to hold a family together. Raising the child is not something to keep your marriage from breaking apart. Raising a child is taking a responsibility for Krishna to bring someone into, you know, the human species of life and up to the platform of Krishna consciousness. That's what it is, right? So it's a very nice arrangement. We have so many material desires, so many material needs. In this way, we can engage them in Krishna's service. Otherwise, how do you engage these kind of needs in Krishna's service? Right? So it's Krishna's very kind to have such arrangements. But it has to be understood what they are. Right? It's not a matter of speculation. Right? The material world isn't speculation. God made it. It follows His laws. We like that. We don't like that. It doesn't actually matter. You know what I'm saying? And it doesn't matter if you're a devotee or not devotee and you don't like it. It still doesn't matter. Right? It's God's law. So God is very kind in that He allows us to take care of all these material needs. That's not a disturbance to him. Right? This idea that, oh, I'm materially disturbed, that the problem, that's not the problem. The problem is are you dealing with material energy connected to Krishna or not? It's connected, then it's fine. It's not connected, then it's useless. Doesn't matter if you're a devotee or not a devotee. It's still useless. Does that make sense? You chant Hare Krishna, you're here at the temple, you do all the things, that's great. Krishna appreciates that, you're going back to Godhead. But when you walk out the door, if what you do as you walk out the door is not connected to Krishna, what's the difference between that and what the car needs to do? You drive the car, you know, the guy, you know, cuts you off, you know, you get angry, you know, you race ahead. What's the difference? Every other idiot does that. Whose car is it? Your car? Your life? That you can be stupid? No. It's Krishna's car, it's Krishna's life. So you follow Krishna's laws. You're connected to Krishna. This makes sense. So that means when you walk in the door of your house, it's still Krishna's house, Krishna's family, Krishna's everything. So it's not as I like, I take care of how I like. No, you take care of how God says you're supposed to take care. You know, you can say whatever you want according to your false ego. It doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. Because you follow his laws, it works. You don't follow his laws, it will fail. And then we conveniently blame Krishna. We don't follow Krishna's laws. Then we get upset with Krishna because, you know, my kids, you know, my son's, you know, a crackhead and sells that. My daughter's, you know, God only knows what she does. You know, and so, you know, it's all Krishna's fault. Well, what do you mean it's Krishna's fault? Krishna says how to raise children. Right? The main point is they like you, they do what you do. They don't like you, they don't do what you do. Right? We're talking about detail. That's the bottom line. Doesn't hurt, as said by one devotee in Ireland when they requested this discussion. I asked him, was it all right afterwards? And he said, it was very nice, but it was very close to the bone. You know, cut very close to the bone. So, the whole idea is that we're dealing with reality. It's not a matter of sentiment, but we just want it to go nice. One, we have to want it to go nice. Two, we have to make it go nice. Krishna's not going to make it go nice for you. Krishna will give you the opportunity to choose to do nice, but you have to do it yourself. Right? Self-realization means you do it yourself. Right? Otherwise it'd be called others' realization. Yes. Our process is others' realization. Like that. You know, others will do everything for you. Like that. Wow, that's great. I like this. So this is the main point, is that as the husband is taking care of the wife, I mean, he sets standards, but how that life is going to unfold on a day-to-day, moment-to-moment basis, then he has to consider the needs of the wife. It's the same thing when the child is there. Right? And so the point is as sense gratification is seen by women as an expansion of emotion. Therefore, since the emotions are all directed at the child, therefore there's going to be no sense gratification because it's already taken care of. You don't like that? I don't know. I don't have a solution for it. Right. It's easier to adjust with reality that this is the way it is than to go on, you know, in your own mind, your own little personal tantrums and hope it will change. that make sense? So then, what means, in other words, what discussion means is that we have to be a lot, we have to be very mature in family life. That's why grihastha is considered superior or senior to a brahmachari. Because of the responsibility, because of the maturity, because of the actual dealing with reality. This is reality. Right? Not reality is I have all these problems. That's not the reality. The reality is what's your mentality in acknowledging them. Right? Accepting that this is the way it is. That's reality. Reality is the material world is like this. I accept that. That's reality. Not reality is I got so many bills to pay, so don't get on my case. That's not reality. Right? That's not accepting reality. Does that make sense? Right? You know, have you ever gone, you can go down to someone, you know, the horse trains, right? And they're an expert horse trainer. And while they're dealing with the horse, you can talk to them. Why? Because they've accepted that there's ways to deal with the horse, and that's just the way it is. So just like you accept that you have to breathe, and not only that, you have, you know, the impossible task of breathing and walking at the same time, you know, like that. But sometimes breathing, walking, and talking, I mean, now we're getting really complex. You know, so we accept all this, so it's not a problem. We don't think about it. It's not a problem. So in the same way as we've accepted that this is what family life means, this is what dealing with the material energy means, it's accepted. It's just done. It doesn't preoccupy oneself that this is unfair. This is not, you know, right. This is too much. You know, it's just the way it is. Every husband is thinking, this is too much, this is over the top, this is impossible. But then if everyone's saying that, right, all, you know, 3 billion of them on the planet are saying that, then what does that mean? That means that's the way it is. And you accept that's the way it is, it stops being a problem. Because why? Because you just deal with it. As long as you deal with it, it's just one of those things you do, right? You brush your teeth, you gotta rinse your mouth afterwards, you know? You know, it's like, oh, it's so complicated, I gotta get out the toothbrush, then I gotta take the cap off, right? Then I gotta squeeze it, and I can't squeeze it in the middle, otherwise the wife will get upset. So I have to squeeze it down to the end, okay? So I squeeze it to the end. Then I gotta put the cap back on, and I gotta make sure I didn't get any around the rim, okay? So then I get that on. Then I gotta put it back in the right place. Then I gotta take the toothbrush, I gotta turn on the tap, and, you know, simultaneously in the coordination get it wet, you know, and then turn off the tap, right? You know, double handed, you know, here, get it in my mouth, you know, then I circles, then I go like that, front, back, like this and that, you know, all these things, and afterwards, you know, the spin, you know, that, you have to make sure it's in the sink, not on the sink, not splattered all over, like that, especially if it's red toothpaste, you know, the wife's gonna see the speckles. So then you gotta get it all cleaned up. And right? You don't even think about this. How much trouble is this? Right? We haven't even finished the process yet. Because you just accept that's the way it is. So it's not a problem. Right? As soon as you don't accept, it becomes a problem. So if you're having a problem, it's because you're not accepting this is part of life. Just the way it is. You want to deal with material energy, this is the way it is. That's the reality. Right? So as soon as you accept this is the way it is, then we can start dealing with relationships. Right? Something you're doing together, working together, giving that mutual support. Right? Right? Then it becomes nice. Then that's where you get the feeling of family. But if it's all about yourself, you're never going to feel family. Because what it gratification to that family. You get some food, you get some sense gratification. You know, you get symptoms that, you know, the person is very attached to you. That's not family. That's you. Family means mutually supporting each other. Right? And of the mutually supporting, which part of it can you work with? Making sure the other person is supporting you? No. Making sure you're supporting the other person. That's what you can deal with. Right? So it should be very clear, what is the reality? What are your duties? What can you actually do? Right? Does this make sense? This is all in play. The kids pick this up. The kids become dutiful. They become selfless. They become able to sacrifice for others. They learn that they're not the center of attention, but they're very, you know, the highest thing, but they get a lot of affection, and so they appreciate that. When they grow up, then they can give that affection to others, right? If you're good with your child, you don't have to worry that your child won't know how to be a good parent. They'll grow up automatically be good parents. Why? Because as a child, they were taken care of by good parents. Does this make sense? It just works. So this is how good parenting works. Other things are detail. Other things are detail. You have this in place, it will work. You use your intelligence, you'll figure it out. It's an individual soul, it has a particular personality, it works within a particular sphere. Right? So it's not unlimited what they're going to do. Right? Like that. So you can figure out the pattern.
Like that. You want an animal, then it's already one, so you just leave it alone.
They can say it's kids, it doesn't matter. Technically, yes, they're kids, it doesn't matter, because the kids won't get the karma, the parents do. So if the child is doing something offensive, the child gets no reaction, the parent does. Like that, up to the age of 16, when they're adult, and they're able to decide for themselves what they want to do, what's right and wrong, then at that age, then the karma goes to themselves. But before that, every last drop of karma of the child that they do wrong goes to the parents. Like that. So, you know, so when your kid at 13 is out, you know, snorting crack, then who gets the reaction? They don't. Like that. If they get involved with girls and boys, then from the age of 13, then it switches. If they don't get involved with boys and girls, then it's the age of 16. Like that, when they become adult. Otherwise, as soon as they understand, you know, what is a boy and girl, they know what is a boy and girl. You know, by sexual activities, then at 13, then it goes to the child. But that's not considered so glorious. Seeing 16 is a better idea. Is that okay? Is that answer that? Also on timing, basically, the babies up to 5, then they speak whatever they like. But basically from 5 for an entire day, 8 hours is normal for a kid. Like that. Up to 12, from 12 and 6 hours is enough. Like that. You see in India, you know, everybody's like that. They go to bed later, get up earlier. Everybody's parents are fine, they don't sleep during the day. Sometimes the kids may sleep. But they're just trained like that. But this Western idea, because you only grow when you sleep, then therefore they got to sleep the maximum. No, still, you know, this means you're only, how you slowly say, it's still a certain amount you're supposed to sleep. You know, so this idea you sleep 12 hours, 10 hours, that's not correct. I mean, you can get accustomed to that, like that, and be in the mode of ignorance. So if you want something that's in the mode of ignorance, gets angry very easily, very self-centered, then you work on that principle. You'll be very tall and very angry. So if that's what you want, hey, go for it. I'm always impressed, because it's also, there's studies, you know, there's studies on if you speak too much, then what happens to you? And then they have studies if you speak too little, what happens to you? They're both, you know, if you read either of them, you know, you'll be shocked. You know, but generally they tend to just see one side. You know, they'll see the thing is by sleeping more than, you know, it means that what it benefits, but they don't necessarily see what's the downside either. You know what I'm saying? The problem with the Western is it's speculative. So this year they have this theory, and after a few years they change it. I mean, you watch every 10 years, whatever was there before is thrown out. I just saw an article in Reader's Digest, you know, like the epitome of the family magazine, right? And they would say, they're very, very careful about what they say, because, you know, it's got to be very family-oriented, can't be anything bad, can't be anything freaky. They just brought out an article on 10 vitamins by taking them is bad for you, right? How many years have they been saying that taking vitamin supplements is very good for you, right? Since what, the 60s? Right? You know what these vitamins are? Vitamin D, vitamin C. Vitamin C, it makes the ends of your fingers, all the nerves tingle when they're not supposed to. I know devotees who, at 50 years old, the ends of their fingers constantly tingle. Why? Because they were very avid vitamin C takers. So now, 50 years later, now they figured out that it's not so good. If you need it, there's a deficiency, then you take it. But just to take it, it has bad effects. Does that make sense? That's why if there is information from the Vedic, there is information from the tradition, that should always be taken first. Right? If you don't have that, then you work by the modern, you do the best you can. You care for your kid, you find out what you can, you do what you can. But you should never take the modern over the Vedic if the Vedic has something. That would be stupid. Because then you're taking the eternal that always works over the temporary. And then it's simply a matter of faith work on one side, but it'll be a problem on the other, like that. He sleeps more, but then they can't understand why is he constantly throwing tantrums. That's because of the ignorance. Like that. That's the one thing you'll notice, at least I've noticed in Asian families where, you know, it's basically the whole family goes to bed, gets up, and does everything together, is the kids are peaceful. You go and visit their house, the kid is peaceful. You know, we're talking a little bit bigger, we're not talking babies. But, you know, bigger kids, 4 or 5 years old, they're very peaceful, they just sit there, they don't do things that they're not supposed to do and everything like that. It just works. Because they just follow the tradition. Because as soon as, why is tradition there? Some people say, oh, tradition is old-fashioned. No, tradition is there because it works. Right? How long has it been, wait, side of the road, whichever side of the road you drive on here, why do they do that? How long has it been going on in this country? Quite a while. You could say this is pretty old-fashioned. You know, why don't they think of something new? No, tradition is there because it works. Right? Because it works. That's why it's done. Right? You know, that's the whole principle. Is that something that works, that's kept. And then if there's a proper relationships and all that, it's handed down. Not proper relationships, you don't get it because nobody tells you. Either they forget, they're too distracted, or they don't work. Right? What, because they're thinking what's the use. So in that way then it's important. So tradition should never be neglected.
Never. thing about all this stuff, it's very direct, shockingly direct. Yeah. So free will means you explain everything. Means you're going to tell them, do this. Now, if you have time at that time, you explain it. If you don't have time, you explain it later, but you don't not explain it. When they start asking questions, you start answering the questions. You never once discourage them. They're asking questions is a waste of time or an annoyance to anybody. Right? That's what then engenders the human element. All kids ask questions, and quite a few parents shut that down because they don't have time, don't want to be bothered. Then they wonder why the kid only follows just their friends and peers and doesn't ask questions and doesn't look at it and analyze it and see what's right and wrong. Why? Because when they were 5 years old, the parents taught them, don't question, just do. Right? And so the parent thinks, in their illusion, that the child is going to stay attached to them eternally. They may, if you're showing the full amount of affection. If you're not, then when they get, you know, 12, 11, starting from 11, but especially at 13, peers become way more important than parents. Right? Like that. And then those children, generally somewhere in their 20s, ladies by 30, figure out the parents were okay. But if you want that 10, 15 year gap in your relationship, hey, be my guest. But if you don't, then you put the affection into the child, they'll get it from you. You don't put it into the child, they'll get it from elsewhere. They are living entities, they're going to get their full intensity of interaction. You know, so that means being crazy, you know, out with their friends. That's what they're doing. Why are they doing such intense things? Because they're looking for fullness. So they're looking for fullness there. You know, why would they look there when it's at home? Right? So if it's at home, they don't look there. Studies have shown. If they do look outside, that's because they're not getting it at home. Parents may say, oh, I'm trying my best, is that still? That's just the way it is. Right? The wife asks impossible from the husband. She expects it to be done. And if he's smart, he does it. So the same way is, you know, if you think it's impossible to be with a child, that's just the way it is. You do it, then you're a good mother, you're a good father. But you can't have a dual standard, I'll ask impossible from my husband, but I won't do impossible for my kid. It's cheating. Like that. It's got to be balanced. And the kids see this. When they're born, they're like animals. So they have that sense, like animals. Right? You walk in, you know, the dog likes you. You walk in, the dog doesn't like you. Why? Because of the sixth sense. Kids are the same. They can tell if the parents are giving affection or not, if they're giving their best or not. They know. Subconsciously, not consciously. They just react like animals. So it's not that you can hide it from them. You know what I'm saying? Like that. You have to follow etiquette if something has to be hidden. Right? But to not follow etiquette and to think the kid didn't catch it, kids know everything. They just don't like it. They don't like it if parents don't perform as parents. Because it's not normal. Right? Even kids born today in the weirdest situation, they still expect the same thing. Every living entity expects normal. They may not know what it is, but they're sure hoping for it. They haven't seen it, but they, you know, that's what they want. Is that okay?
Really working. It still seems to happen despite the obvious, you know,
we're seeing that the child is different from us. Because remember before I said, in detail it appears. In principle, children are always exactly the same as their parents. They're never any different. Like this. The parent decides, just to give an example, the parent decides, you know, we're very busy, you know, we're being very practical in our life, and so we can only come to the temple, you know, once a week on Sunday. Okay? So then, when it's time to go to the temple, then the teenager doesn't want to come to the temple. And the parent thinks, why isn't the kid like us? No, the kid's exactly like you. Because you've made the arbitrary decision that once a week is what works for you. So it's what works for you, not necessarily what's sought. So for the kid, they made the decision what works for them. And that's on big festival days where there'll be all kinds of other kids there. It's just big prasad and something happened. So they're exactly the same as the parents. If you actually analyze what they do, you know what I'm saying? The parent is very nice, but how is the parent with their authority? Does the parent ever talk bad about authorities in front of the kids? If they do, then who's the authority for the kid? The parent. So I hang out with my family and friends, but I don't really care about temple authorities or other authorities like that. So the kid hangs out with what he considers his group and doesn't care for his authorities, which are his parents. You understand? That's why we're giving this class on the subtleties, not on tricks. You know, maybe you know this, then you say that, or do the, no, that you get from other ladies who are experts in the field. What we're talking about is understanding why your kid does what they do, because they're only doing what you do. Because you said, seemingly together families. But the point is, if they are together families, why would they do that? You know what I'm saying? So, therefore, where is the affection? The parent is at the temple. The kid's alone. Right? Because they don't want to take the kid to the temple because then they can't do what they can do there. That's considered a dance, but the point is then, if the kid then decides to be off with his friends, why were the parents in the first place? Then why didn't you just, if all you want to do is be at the temple, why didn't you remain from the tribe or not have children? You know what I'm saying? So that doesn't mean the children are more important than the service. It means you have to find a way to balance it. Family life means, you know, the impossible. If you don't want, but that's taking that responsibility, using your brain, working it out. Why do you think Krishna has given Vanaprastha? Because after having dealt with, you know, impossible for 25, 30 years, you're very happy now to just get back to a regular life, just some simple sadhana and very, everything very simple. Because no more impossible, right? You're dealing with companionship. You know, romance is gone, everything else is gone, you're not going to deal with the impossible anymore. You're just going to deal with, you know, what you have and be satisfied. Does that make sense? So, therefore, teenagers, why would a teenager do something else anyway? Why does anybody do something else? Do the ignorance? So has it been explained? Right? Or was it at least dealt with on an emotional platform? You know? Did you explain why they shouldn't be out with these other kids? Right? Always bad. See, the difficulty, one thing you'll notice in, let's say, dealing with kids, the mom might have difficulty dealing with her children. there, but it's more than that.
She accepts. She accepts whatever the child has.
She accepts. Why? Because it's not her child. She's detached. It's her child's child. Therefore, she deals with that as an individual. The mother deals with it. It's mine, so because it's mine, it should do what I want. So this is a mistake. The husband, she deals with the husband like that, but he is the actual conscious thinking being, so he's supposed to be. Right? So that may work. He's got to figure it out. Right? But that puts the mother in the feminine position, the father in the, or the husband in the masculine position. But the child is the other way around. It all goes to the child. The child's the center. That makes the child in the feminine position, the mother in the masculine. So if he uses this principle of it's mine, therefore it automatically does whatever I want. If it doesn't, I get angry. That's not childhood. That's selfishness. That's the attitude that you should deal with your husband, not with your child. Therefore, have you actually ever really explained to the child why they do this? If you've been doing it since they're 2-3 years old, then when they get 13, there's already been 10 years of explanation. Something solid is there. But most parents think, I don't need to because it's mine. Right? Therefore, they don't explain. They just expect it will happen. And when they're young, it works pretty good. And as they grow up, because they have all these different age groups, these cycles of ages, then 8 to 10, they do real nice. And 10 years old is like the pure bony age. They relate perfectly with adults, they deal nicely, they do everything they're told, and then they hit 11. And then as far as the mother's concerned, it's downhill like that. And it'll keep going downhill until they're like 19, so don't even worry about it. That's when men are supposed to train the boys. But of course, the mother's so attached, she won't let the men train them, and then she firmly fixes them in a feminine mentality, and then you grow up and then, you know, it's impossible when he grows up because he doesn't know how to be a man, he deals with his wife, and if he's the woman, he's the center, because his mother always to take care of him, and then it all falls apart, and then the mom breaks him down. Right? So that's why the mating system is screwed. Right? Because women cannot make men into men. Men only can make men into men. And if men behave as men, then women can behave as women. So the whole key of the mated culture is making men into men. Making women into women, that's not the difficulty. Right? You have a girl, and then one day she just becomes a woman. That's the way it is. Right? But men, boys, don't turn into men. They first turn into punks, or dweebs, or geeks, or something else. Then you have to make them into men. Right? And who's going to make them? The support of women that they should become is very important. That is an emotional base, but the actual science of doing it, that men does. Then you have something solid. So between the mother's instructions and the father's instructions since they're young, and then adding to that then the instruction of the teacher, that makes it strong. Then, because in the Vedic concept, there is no such thing as adolescence. It's actually a new term that's come up, I think, since the 60s. Before that, there was no such thing as adolescence. Back in the 30s, the kids grew up, they were responsible. Some of them from 12, they were working before the unions made the rule you can't work till 18. They would be out supporting, you know, something happened, the father was killed in the war, they're out, but they got a job, they're taking care of the mother and the sisters. It's a new thing, it's a baby boomer thing. They're the ones that got the adolescent problem. So it's a very modern concept. So it's not the natural way kids have to deal. It's only because of not understanding that you have to educate your kid, you know, in culture,
problem. Because in the Christian culture, where is the education? Where is the cultural education? Right? Modern secular education won't teach it. The parents don't teach it. Who's supposed to teach it? Right? So traditionally, priests taught it, because previously priests were the teachers. Right? It says now priests aren't the teachers due to secular education. It's not there. The Jews send their kids to, you know, the Hebrew school. The Muslims, they send that they got another day for their thing that they go. Like that, you know? Or like in India, I don't know if they have it here. The Gujaratis, they have their little school. You go to Guju school, you know, there's a Guju and stuff like that. So they all have it. It's someone else, the teachers are going to teach this. But in the modern culture, teachers don't teach this. They can't deal emotionally with your kid. They do, you can make a case against them. So who does that leave? So that means the parents aren't doing it themselves, they don't have anyone else to do it. It's a problem. Therefore, you have this adolescent problem. It's a modern concoction. Previously, it wasn't there. It just, you don't hear of it. You know? In America, George Washington, you know, the guy that, you know, won the battle, he was like 21 years old. Other big generals in the Americans, they were 19 years old. You know, they were kids. So that's at 19, the guy's a general. So when did he start? When he was an adolescent. You know? So this whole thing that, oh, he's too young, right? Oh, he's too young to be responsible. He's not too young to have the appetite for sex. Right? Associating with women takes the most maturity. So how is it that's happening at 13? Right? And the boy is associating with the girl based on what? Yes, I want to take care of this girl the rest of my life, like the girl's thinking? No, he's thinking, great chest, great butt. Okay, let's take it for a ride. And that is the limit of what he's thinking. And all the adults are saying, oh, so cute. Then they wonder why when they grow up they don't know anything what they're doing in family life. One, they haven't been trained. And two, you know, in an unqualified state they're allowed to be involved and do whatever they like. Right? The women encourage the young boys do whatever they like until they're adults. Once you get married, then they're supposed to do what the wife likes. But where was the training? You know, they got 6 to 10 years and just do what you like, have a good time. And that would be, oh, then they'll be normal with women. We're talking about a lot of very foolish so-called adults. They have no idea what being an adult means, what being a grown up means. And therefore, we got a lot of weird kids. So it's very simple. Just how much is necessary, show that, I mean, how much you require in affection, that much affection should be given to the kids. Right? In other words, if you don't require much, your kids won't require much because they've come from you. Right? Does that make sense? The parents are very simple, don't require much emotional support and interaction, the kids won't either. If the parents require a lot, their kids will require a lot, right? So the apple doesn't fall very far from the tree. So it's like that. So how much you require is how much they require. See that they're getting what you require, and they'll be fine. Does that make sense? Then why do they need to go outside? They'll have friends, this and that. But they'll pick friends. If they're emotionally supported, they'll pick friends that deal with the emotional department also. They don't get taken care of, then they'll be out with shallow people who don't take care either. And so therefore, it's by how intense, means, in other words, emotions are intense. craziness. So that's why kids are crazy. Because all they're doing is on the shallow platform. They have nothing. So nothing else is, you got to ride a skateboard, do the tunnel or something. I mean, it's something crazy because nothing else gives you anything in life. But all they require is actually some affection. That's all they require. Does that make sense? How important it is that they interact with other Krishna conscious devotees, because they don't have Krishna conscious neighbors. Main thing is that they're interacting nice with the family, right? Because that in itself can be full. Naturally, we need friends, so then there are other families around. You know, it's not. I don't remember interacting. I remember. So we had one kid across the street, directly across the street. My other friends were one block up, two blocks up when I was younger, or in the middle. Then most of them were, you know, 6, 8, 10 blocks away. You know, does that make sense? So the whole idea is this: one is two things. One is, why aren't devotees moving in the common neighborhoods? You know what I'm saying? That can easily be done. Want to look for a place, that why are people arranging that the devotees are finding, you know, kind of like common areas where they can be together. You know, around here, you know, around the temple, other areas, you know, I mean, you got 600 suburbs in this city, so, you know, it can be arranged wherever it is, they can be together. That's one thing, that's an adult thing. But the other is, you can visit friends. But the point is, if you're using it for yourself, you're using the Indian paradigm, that's easy. But if you're using the Australian, that may be a problem. Right? You know what I'm saying? Because if the husband doesn't give the wife enough attention anyway, then she doesn't want friends over because she doesn't have the energy to put out for friends. Right? So the husband's always wanting to invite people over, but he's not willing to put the time into his wife. Therefore, that's why she doesn't want friends. Therefore, that's why your kid doesn't have anyone to play with. Does that make sense? So we see the problem is in all these things with kids, it always goes back to the parents. The parents are right, the kids will always be right. The facility will always be there, the support will always be there. The parents aren't right, the kids, they will be a struggle. They somehow don't survive, I mean, you know that's there, but it doesn't mean it was easy. Does that make sense?
For example, we can keep it at home, the kids dance at home, and but is that enough, or do they need to interact with the same age kids?
Means if they're showing the need, then they yes, but if they don't show the need, no. It's not that, oh, they won't grow up normal. There's plenty of time. They go to school, there's kids, all everybody's there, right? They go to school, so they're with kids all day. But you're not in control of that, so therefore then you feel, I got to be in control of my kids who they're with. Right? I'm saying that they get that part. So if they're happy and satisfied at home and that's complete, then you don't have to worry. If it's not, then you find others, you know, who have kids, the buddies go to their house, let the kids play. You know, like-minded parents who have the same kind of value system, like that. And so then it'll work. Because you're dealing with the mundane, so that's why it has to be like-minded. Okay?
With going to other people's houses and they've got like game boards, you know, it's cool with
so that's why I said like-minded.
Hey?
That's why I said like-minded.
Yeah.
You don't ride game boys, find others who don't have game boys.
Some people say, you know, like, they can, you know, give them 1 hour, it's too much.
Whatever it is, you find someone who's like-minded. If you let your kid play for 1 hour with these toys, and you go to someone else's house.
don't like them, you go to someone else's house who doesn't like them. That's my point. Otherwise, how are you going? It means you have these values, you know, then follow them, stick to them. Find others who have the same values. That makes sense. If not, make it more interesting at home. You know, main thing is, kids don't need toys as such, these kinds of things. You give them anything. I remember we had one kid when he was 6 years old, you know, because in the gardens there's so many rocks. If you find two rocks that were a little bit long, you had thorny pie, right? You know, you stick them on the tree, face of the tree, get a few leaves, you start, you know, pooching and this, and that's how you keep yourself busy all day, was with rocks. Like that. You know, previously what, you know, the girls, they have a doll, you have your poo doll, or you have your other, you know, things than that. And then they keep themselves busy all day. Right? Barbie does nothing, right? You know, they think this girl is busy all day. You know what I'm saying? So the whole point is that parents don't want to give the time, so then they stick their kids in front of the TV or give them the things than that. So therefore those parents that give their kids time, you know, that's the ones to spend time with. If you give your kids time, spend time with other parents who do the same. You know, while if you're somebody who, you know, doesn't give your kids time, then going over to someone else's house, you know, is, you know, something different. You know, then all the kids can go in their room and kill each other with the latest, you know, killer, you know, attack, you know, nuclear, you know, game and stuff like that. And the parents can sit out in the next room and, you know, tell all their dirty jokes. You know, so they keep themselves happy. You know, so like that, you just find like-minded people. To the pedal pod, keep going.